Hello.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Same to you. I'm about to go to New Jersey. I'll be in your neck of the woods on Wednesday.
Hello.
Hey, Kristen, Christina, and Kristen. Hi, Carlita.
Hi, Joanna. I didn't receive any email about the intensive, so I wasn't sure what was happening today.
Oh, an email didn't go out.
Yeah, I went back on my calendar and was like, I bet it's the same Zoom room. But
Oh. You know what? Let me just.
I got an email
Oh, you
yesterday.
did?
Yeah, but yesterday.
I didn't get one.
Yeah. I'm just saying I did. I just saying I did get one.
Huh, I wonder why some of you didn't. If you didn't get one, can you just check your spam to make
I
sure it
did
didn't?
check my spam. Yeah.
So, Tracy, you didn't get one either? Weird.
I'm checking my spam, but I typically get all of the emails that come from, they usually are labeled Talia.
Right. It's just weird that Mindy would get it, but you and Carlita wouldn't, since you're all on the same. It's just like a tag for advanced. So I wonder if something happened. I'll check in with the team. It sounds like it's more of like an email deliverability issue versus the email didn't go out. But
So
oh,
annoying. And
that's concerning.
yeah, I hate when the email filters decide they're going to decide who
I
gets
did
email.
get it. I did get it. I just didn't see it.
Oh, okay. So
It came yesterday.
weird. Mine, I didn't get one yesterday or today. It's not in spam or anything. It's so weird.
I wonder, Carlita, I mean, I never know how this stuff works, but I wonder if there's, are you on Google? Because I know with Google, it's like the thing. I'm
Yeah,
wondering if there's a
it's
way to shift filters or make sure that we're on the white list. I don't even understand the words that I'm saying. I just know that they're used sometimes. Like there, I think there
I
may
didn't.
be. So I don't know.
No worries.
All right. Well, welcome everyone. Hi, Rosa. It's good to see you. I think I said hi to everybody. We are very close to the end of the year. I don't know about all of you. This is my last official day of calls before taking a little bit of a break. But I'm so happy that we have this class. It was to just remind you all, it was rescheduled. It was originally supposed to be the integration call for the devil archetype. And I can't remember something. I think I was sick. I can't remember what happened. But anyway, I purposefully rescheduled for today because I thought that it would be really valuable for those of us that are here to just have an opportunity to connect at the end of the year and to do what I want for us to do today is like to do some integration on like everything that we've covered so far since the beginning of Advanced. And also I'm going to lead you through like a mini end of the year process for yourself as well. If you have cards nearby, divination cards or tarot cards, grab them. If not, I'll pull, if we get to it, I'll pull cards for you. Okay.
I don't have cards, so I will be asking you to.
Yeah, I figured you would. I remember from last time. I got you covered. Archetype cards are good. Yeah, any cards you have. We won't be using them for a while. So, okay. So, as a very, very, very brief review, just to kind of remind you where we've been so far, when we started Advanced in July, I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. We started with the befriend your fear technique. And in that intensive, I always start advanced with befriend your fear, even if you've learned versions of it in sacred depths before, because befriend your fear in a way is the basis of so much other somatic work. These foundations of learning to befriend the parts of yourselves, even the ones that you initially might not want to be friends with. These ideas that it's not just about the thinking, the fear, but how it lives in your body and how you feel it and how you experience. The practitioner, the technical foundations in befriend your fear of how do you dialogue with a fear? How do you intentionally create a container, a regulated container to connect with the fear and not only learn from it, but begin to hold regulation in the face or alongside of something that's scary for you so that your system can begin to settle even in the face of the fear, even with the possibility of it. And we learned a lot around how to work with that in the body. And then how to support clients to take those breakthroughs and the awarenesses and the beginning of those feelings of some regulation with the fear out into strategy and action steps as well. From there, we looked at the archetype of the devil and again deepened through that particular lens. We deepened this idea and this understanding of becoming friends with and holding space for all the aspects of ourselves, not just the savory ones, again, so that we can learn from them, so that we can bring in awareness, and so that we can bring in regulation. When we bring things out of the blind spot, we bring the awareness, and when we bring some regulation with it, then we are in a much better place to choose how we want to move forward instead of being dragged by the fear. We can make conscious choices about it, even if they feel stretchy and uncomfortable. We learned a little bit of a different somatic technique with the devil archetype. But again, based on so many of the same foundations of the befriend your fear, as well as a lot of the like technical pieces of how do you hold space for somatic work? How do you support a client to do that? And then from there, we moved into our intensive on archetypal images and dream work and working with cards and tarot and waking dreams. Maybe you're all starting to see the method of my madness, like how I've organized for those of you that participated in Curriculum Lab, right? Like how one step to the next, each aspect of the card is a different aspect of ourselves to become friends with. Each aspect of the dream as a different aspect of ourselves to become friends with and to embody. All of this along the way is also about intentional and transformational embodiment so that we have all of ourselves to make decisions from and to resource from so that we're more able to accept all of who we are so that we can find our nervous system can find a place to land even in the face of discomfort. And then for those of you that are Sacred Depths alumni that participated in the alumni retreat, we the belief bridge was just a moving forward of all of that. Where we're going next in the new year is to start to bring this into memories. And I'm so excited in the Choose Your Own Journey intensive in January. I'm going to teach you a technique that's going to, I think it's just going to like blow all of your minds. Kristen knows, she's learned it already, where we can actually go back to old memories and change them or change how we've experienced them using everything that we've learned so far. But for now, what I want to ask you is to take some time and write down for yourself, what are some over these months and what we've journeyed through together so far, what are some important learnings for you about transformation, coaching, or somatic work? What are some of the important learnings that you've really taken in when it comes to transformation, coaching, or somatic work? I'll give you a couple of minutes with that. I'll type it into the chat too. Take another few moments. All right, I'd love to hear some shares. Who'd like to share? What are some of the important learnings? It's great to say them as deeper integration and for everybody to hear them as well for deeper integration. Rosa.
Oh, I'm going to take a moment and breathe first. Wow. Actually, I want to stand while I'm talking about this. It just feels like it would be really helpful.
Okay. So
I have three. The first one has to do with, I just feel like, yes. I need the space to do my own work in order to do this work in the world, which is exactly why I signed up for this, right? And so I feel like it's just been such a confirmation of that. The second thing, you know, because a lot of the pieces have been familiar to me and I just need a space where the space being held so that I, right? And the devil piece. Oh my gosh. I was raised Roman Catholic, right? And so there's like a lot of like fear of the devil. And there was something profoundly healing about working with that card and that image and the realization of how loose those chains actually are, right? That was just like mind blowing. And the archetypal images in dream work, I just feel like there was some profound freeing that happened around my own connection to my own artistic self and my connection with my voice. And so, you know, those are like personal transformation things that I have been taking with me. And then it is really helpful to feel like, okay, I do have all of these tools and I can put them together and I can share them and I can feel more confident in them. So having a place where so many of the trainings that I've done over the decades are kind of all being held and used and mirrored and whatever has just been super, super helpful. So that's it.
I love that you stood up for that. It felt like a claiming of so much for you. It's so great to see. Yeah. And there were some celebrations in there, not just learnings, and dovetailed into some other question. You're already ahead of me. I love it. It's so good. And one of the things that I want to like pull out for all of us about this work is the first thing that you said, which is to do the somatic work and the deeper transformational work. It is so important that we are doing our own work and that we have a space and a container for that. Energy follows energy. So the level, the energy, as well as like the level of regulation or co-regulation that we can bring into a container is only as good as what we bring in to it. So thank you for all of that. And big yay. Tracy.
Kudos, Rosa. I loved how you were like, you know what? I need a stand. Like it's, you know, like you could feel that, right? Which is beautiful. You know, the saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So a year before I even knew anything about advanced depth, it was almost like I was calling you in, Joanna, to this work. Because when I really think about befriending the fear and, you know, the archetype of the devil and even the images in dream work, it just reminds me of that remembrance of coming back to self and feeling in your body so that you experience what being embodied is. And my program, which I shared with you, and thank you so much for your beautiful words and reflections, just feels like it's a manifestation of this. Because where do we start? In the body, because I believe that our body is the root system for our business. So it was almost like I couldn't create something until I went on this journey of my own evolution, connecting with my body. And so I'm really feeling, you know, just like the inquiry, I believe, was such a big deal when you said these are the journal prompts, right? Because it wasn't so much like, where was this landing in my mind with these journal prompts? It was about where am I feeling it in my body? Yes. And so that is really important. And also, it's like, how can you share and hold space for someone? At least I don't feel like I could hold space for evolution of self with someone if I didn't go through my own evolution. So yeah. I'm just grateful and thankful for this, for all of the awareness and the curiosity versus the judgment, you know? So
yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. Such great. I love it. Like celebrations too. And I can see how this is directly impacting how you're articulating, like you were already doing it in your work, but now you've connected the dots to understand more why and articulating it. So, so well done. And I want to pull on some of the learnings that you shared just again to underscore for all of us. So first of all, the embodiment piece, and you know, we all use the word embodiment, and you've heard me all say the body level of learning and processing, but I want to just really bring more focus to this concept for one moment in the transformational work. When we are working with blocks, when we are working with fears, when we're working with beliefs, and you'll see when we're working with shadows, it's not enough to just cognitively understand what's going on. That's a big piece of it. There, don't never underestimate that piece and creating awareness. But when we can support our clients to feel the pieces and to be embodied in new pathways, that's when we can really see those shifts happening. In order, similar to what Rosa was saying, I want to carry this over to the embodiment piece. In order to support clients to be more embodied and in their bodies, we as practitioners have to be willing to be in our bodies, which I just want to like admit, even for myself as someone who teaches this, I am most comfortable in the mind. Like that is my go-to place. And I have to practice and remind myself to come back to embodiment. The other piece I want to pull on that Tracy just shared that I think is so important is that so much of this work is, I think the phrase that you used is coming back to self. And no matter what our expertise is, no matter what goals we're supporting our clients to achieve, whether it's in business or relationships or health or whatever it is, part of this work, and not all coaching, I'll say like believes in this or espouses this, but I really do. Part of supporting clients to achieve their goals is to hold space for them on the journey to come back to themselves, because that's where we make our best decisions from. Awesome. Thank you.
Mindy. Joanna, what do you mean by that last piece, the journey to come back to themselves? Could you say a little bit more there?
Yeah. So by the way, hello, I'm glad you're here. I was, before you came on, I was kind of reviewing where we've been so far in the program and kind of like how one piece has led to the next, and we're sort of doing an integration. One of the things that I was saying is so much of what, you know, we've been doing a lot of things, but you see it in every piece that we've done. It's about accepting more of who we are, not just this piece or that piece. It's about this wholeness and this completeness. I didn't say of the full self, Tracy added the word self. And so that's what I mean by this, is that we can't just make decisions from our pretty parts or like our favored parts. The best decisions are when all the pieces are online and accepted and being held. Thanks for asking to clarify that. Mindy.
Hi. So many things regarding transformation coaching and somatic work. First, just the way you've really driven home the reality of how transformation works and what it is, and that it's not simple, it's not easy, it's not quick, and it's not linear. And to just keep hearing that over and over again has been so helpful to really, really, I mean, because, you know, I heard it and I knew it, but didn't really, really know it. And that's been really helpful for me working with clients. and also for myself and understanding the cycles. And that's a really big thing for me. The somatic work, so from on a personal level, realizing how not in my body I was, and to be able to kind of dip my toe in a very safe place and keep doing this over the last couple of years. And how important that is, because understanding that there are parts of us, I think, you know, don't necessarily understand words, and we understand feelings and metaphors and all that, and how much that plays into working with ourselves and clients. And I love the somatic pieces. I just think they're just that's amazing to be able to work that way with people. And it really resonates with me. Because the other thing is those pieces that don't necessarily have words, those sort of, that's like the inner knowing, and working with the somatics really, to me, drives home that we actually really do have the answers in us. We just have to be able to listen to them and find them. And sometimes we just need support, to someone to point them out and let us sit quietly so we can actually hear them or feel them. Mm-hmm. And that they, I don't know, sometimes I think they speak louder than words most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So beautifully said all around. So first, I'm just going to pull on a couple of pieces. There was so much there. But first, the somatic work, I mean, all this work, but I think the somatic work in particular, and this is what I heard you saying, Mindy, it really supports this idea that we don't have to have the answers for our clients. Mm-hmm. If we can hold space for our clients to be with themselves and be with their body. And I love what you said about this, you know, connecting in even beyond the words, into the metaphors, into the images, because so many of the answers lie there. Like, that's where the most aligned wisdom and answer is for our clients. It's not because we're smarty pants mm-hmm. as practitioners. It's the quality of the space that we can hold for them to be, back to what Tracy said, to connect to themselves, mm-hmm. to find those answers. And that's another of the big pieces of this somatic work, you know, in addition to what I was sharing before, is it, we have it inside of us. We have those answers. Sometimes we don't know the how to, right? And we can get that from other places, but like the inner, the knowing, the decision-making, the understanding, the uncovering, the vision, all of that, that is inside of us. And again, I said it, but I'll say it again. I just want to underscore this piece of sometimes we don't have the words for it, but when we can connect in with the body, with the imagery, with the dreams, even looking at images outside of us, like we looked in our archetypal image retreat, the looking at the image inside of us helps us find what's inside of us. What's outside, we find within, and vice versa. Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else want to share learning about transformation, coaching, and somatic work? Something that is really sticking for you, something that you feel like you're really integrating? Kristen.
Yeah. Really just to echo kind of what everybody else says, but since it's my second year through the program, I feel just that everything is integrating so much deeper. Like, I think the first time through the program, I was so busy just taking it all in for myself. And now I'm able to take it all in for myself, as well as look at ways to bring it into my client work better, I think, than I was the first time around. So maybe that's just me and the way that I process, but
No, I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward for a couple of reasons. First of all, yay. And what you're speaking to is like, you're sharing a personal experience, but actually what you're speaking to is very much related to understanding transformation and understanding embodiment. Mindy spoke to it a little bit before, and I love like this piece that you're adding, because this is true for our clients. And then I'm going to do a business application for all of us too. The way, as you've heard me say before, that the way that we change is not by doing something once and then moving. It's not linear, right? And then moving on to the next. The way that we learn, the way that we change, the way that we transform, the way that we embody is through this cyclical journey, through the coming back. And then the coming back and the coming back. It's not so sexy, right? Because the industry like wants to say it happens overnight, but that's just a setup for clients and for ourselves. This is a process. And it's important for us to understand this when we work with our clients so that things aren't a once and done. And that we are continually coming back for the deeper embodiment and the deeper embodiment and the deeper embodiment. I want to also just toss this from a business perspective, whether it's one-on-one or groups. We want to think about this concept when it comes to clients continuing with us. Right. So as an example, the reason why I offer graduates of advance to do the program again isn't because I'm like, oh, I need more sales. And right. Like that is not the reason. The reason is because I understand this process of embodiment and change and transformation and how it's cyclical and the power of coming back and integrating. Oftentimes we can, if you're sensitive like me and ethical like me, sometimes we can be like, oh, well, that person already worked with us and I don't want to invite them to continue working with me because they should have gotten all the things and integrated it all fully. And right. But that's actually not true. Like there's no way that can fully happen. Some of you may have heard me say this, but I offer this because I think it's good for our understanding and it's a good business piece. In my programs where I invite people to do the program more than once, I think about it in all the ways that I've just been sharing. And also Penina was in Montessori school for a period of time. And I love one of the pieces in Montessori is that a student stays in the same classroom with the same teacher for at least 2, if not 3 years. With the same, what in Montessori they call works. In Montessori classrooms, they have different objects that are there for learning for the kids, and the kids can pick which works they want to do and be with it. And the idea is, it's like, well, why are the works the same, right? Because in all other school, it's like you learn a different thing each school year. That's reductive, but you know what I mean. But the idea in Montessori is that every time the child picks up one of the works and engages with it, they get to the deeper level of the concept that work is trying to teach. And then the deeper level of the concept that work is trying to teach. It's the same work, you know, whatever it is, but we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I really apply that and also explicitly share that when I am inviting people to continue to do almost the same exact curriculum that they just did and to see what the value is in that. I want to pause there because that was a lot. Anything that's clicking for anyone, or anything that you want to add to that or any questions that you have about that?
I would like to share a minute. It reminds me of the fact that you can hear something 6 or 7 times, but it's on that 8th time that you actually start to process that goes from the thinking mind into the feeling body. That's what it reminds me of.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing that in, which for everybody, by the way, is a good reminder to keep on marketing. It's okay to keep on saying the same things. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I just wrote this 10 other different ways and now I'm doing this again. But yes, that is actually what you're supposed to be doing. Rosa.
I just thought this would be a good time to celebrate that I've signed up for Sacred Depths.
I'm so excited.
You know, because many of you have already experienced it, but I'm kind of doing this backwards, which is fine because I do things differently sometimes. Yeah, so
not linear.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I'm so thrilled, Rosa. I'm so, so excited. When Inval told me, I did a little dance. All right, anything else that wants to be said about this process of change, how it relates to our client work or even our business structures or models? No? Okay. All right, here's another question for you. Some of you have already started answering this question, but see if you can go further. Since we started in July, what are some important learnings about who you are as a practitioner or leader or human? Since we started in July, what are some important learnings about who you are as a practitioner or a leader or a human? I'll put that in the chat. Take another minute, see what else is there. There's probably at least one or two other things. All right, so Carlita is saying, I've started to understand that my difference in the love coaching space, about which I have felt self-conscious, is actually a form of my thought leadership there. Carlito, when you posted about this in the Coaching Revolution Facebook group, I was just like out loud doing yays and like metaphorically inside doing somersaults. I am just so happy. Like, to me, and tell me if I'm getting this right, Carlito, like what I see in this is that it's not just a form of your thought leadership that you're starting to understand about your difference, but this is starting to own it in a deeper way.
Yes. Ownership.
Yes. And ownership of the brilliance in it and the being willing to be seen in the difference.
And to be different and to stand for something different. You know, it's funny. I've always felt like other love coaches circle me like a shark because they think that I need their services or whatever. And I'm just like, no, I'm like, I'm standing for a different truth here. That's not reductive about like your partner is the end all be all. And if you keep believing that idea, you're just putting a band-aid over a gaping wound that's not being addressed. Like, this quest for love is so much deeper. And it's nice to be like, yeah, I get to actually stand for the truth and not just this like marketing, like we're going to get you your soulmate in 6 weeks thing, you know?
Yes, 100%. And I think you already know this, but I'll just say the standing for the truth and being a little polarizing is actually some of the best marketing that you can do.
Yeah. I see that now. It's just like, just stand in that, Carlita, just stand in it. Like that's for the right people. The people who love that and appreciate that are my ideal clients. Like they have hired me for that.
Yes. Yes.
And the ones who don't get it, it doesn't matter.
That's right. It doesn't. They're not for you. You're not the right teacher, guide, coach, holder of space for those people. And that's fine. More than fine. I know that there's so much work that has led you to this place of knowing and understanding and owning, and you just really want to honor it. It's big. It's big stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I really hold you up as like, you're on the altar of my heart for that too. It's just like, I know that whenever we are like, you know, when we're sensitive and relationship oriented, it can be vulnerable and it does feel vulnerable. And I'm just kind of getting to be like, yeah, I get to be with my vulnerability.
Yes.
I get to be with the fact that this is gonna, you know, people are gonna respond how they respond. And okay, that's part of what I teach anyway, is how to be with that.
Yes, 100%. And this may be true for you. I feel like this is a little bit where you're going. I can say this is true for me. It's like, it's about learning how to be okay with people not liking you and not agreeing with you and not thinking you're awesome and being, I don't want to say perfectly okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with that, but becoming more and more okay with that.
Yeah. 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 And in my case, it's like, the fact that like other love coaches can like think that I like need them and like be like, it's really insulting to me. And I've had a hard time with that because I'm just like, really, like, just leave me the fuck alone.
Totally. Like, once we get through our in-person shadow retreat, I have a feeling you're not going to see it as insulting. You're just going to see it as their shadows.
So, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Really nice. Thank you, Carlita. Tracy.
Carlita, I love that so, so much. So just celebrating you for just owning who you are and standing in your own presence. I love that. And I love, Joanne, a couple of things that you said when you talked about like just owning it, right? Because for the longest time, it's like, I've believed in like really standing and owning your inner brilliance, but I was afraid to talk about the body being the root system of our business, because the inner child in me was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be perceived in a certain way. And then
I'm like, who gives a fuck? Like, this is what I believe. I believe it. And I'm doing the work for my own body to like witness myself in it, you know? And so it was like this realization. It was like what I wrote down was that there was like a deeper understanding that for one, I am all about the depth. I don't do surfacey. It doesn't feel, it's like, you know, wearing a coat that doesn't feel good. And it was like doing this work with you is like all about the depth. And it was like, Tracy, embrace that. That's the level that you go to, because that is the level of healing that is taking place, and be okay with that. So, and that's why we start in the body. And I'm like, whoever it's not for you, but I can't not talk about it because it might make you feel uncomfortable, or like, I just have to stay in my lane, in my presence. When I'm in other people's perceptions of me, that is never working in my favor. And then it doesn't work in the favor of the people that I want to hold space for.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just thrilled that you're more deeply owning this piece around the body. And you mentioned like being okay with it, and where I see you headed towards, and as I've watched Carlita, as I've watched you, and so many of you here, actually see you headed towards being not only okay with it, but unapologetic about it. And that's where we want to get to. Good. Rosa. You're on mute if you're talking.
Okay, sorry. Two things, I think. One is, you know, I feel more self-acceptance around, and self-knowledge even, just about how much I value community, peer support, peer learning, peer mutual aid, to resonate with what Tracy just said. It's just like depths and going deep, and like, that's who I am, right? And so I've been on your email list for a long time, and it's like this like sacred depth stuff just kept calling to me and calling to me. And I actually had an interview with Inbal a while back where I realized I can't do that and finish this dissertation at the same time, and I'm not ready and whatever. And then later advanced steps came up, and I wanted a retreat every 2-3 months framework. It was like perfect timing wise. Right. And this has been so great. And, you know, and now I get to sign up for Sacred Depths, where there is going to be a lot of community and peer stuff and like that. And this has been wonderful. But I just want to say something about what you were saying before about how the cycling instead of the linear. It's like, it's such a strong bias in our culture against repeating something, you know, like there's a lot of educational trauma around repeating rate and role. It's such a negative thing. And so I think it can be so helpful for programs when we actually address this and explain that each time around we are learning different things, you know, if we want to welcome people to. And I just feel like I was like going against the grain, because I'm like going backward. I'm going to from advanced to foundational, and I'm so psyched about it. Like, but it is such an against the grain kind of a thing, you know. And I just, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So self-acceptance and the voice bit, I'm realizing how shy I have been. I haven't really talked about this much, but I'm starting to explore, like, I really want to work in the social change space. And I realize, for example, that I'm putting this in the past because it's changing now, but I have not brought up the subject of climate change very often, even though I care about it passionately, because I don't want people to get triggered, because I don't want people to go into their fear, because I don't want people to go into their self-judgment or judgment of others. But so this last thing you were saying about gaining courage to be out there with their truths, regardless regardless of who likes us or who doesn't like us, right? And at the same time, I'm seeing all these ways that I can open the conversation in ways that welcome feelings and that don't put people on the defensive.
Yeah,
and
that you can, yeah, that you can honor and make it a welcoming space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that really connects in with this piece around the desire for community that you've been finding too. Like if you bring that perspective of how important community is to that work and those conversations, that's the key for you.
Yeah. And I just have to say that your progress, not perfection, has been sinking into me and seeping into me. And I find it so helpful because, you know, like I kind of essentially dropped out of Curriculum Lab because I went to visit my family for 3 weeks, which was a total intense, challenging thing, bringing up old patterns, da, 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 da. But I feel like I haven't been beating myself up about it as much as I might usually be. And I'm like, I have all the recordings. At some point, I'm going to go back in there. It's a wonderful thing. I didn't get a chance
to do it. But no, I'm so glad the way that you're approaching it. And it's like a kindness, right? And it is a busy time of year too. I don't want to normalize that also. But yeah, I'm so, so glad.
Yeah. So self-acceptance and kindness, yes. And working on my voice stuff. So thank you so much.
Mindy. And then I still have a lot more questions for all of you.
This is going to be a quick one. I just, honestly, just trusting myself that I actually know what I'm doing.
Yes. Got chills when you said that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just
feel that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been so big. And just, you know, I listen. I mean, I feel so privileged to be amongst like all these like amazing, when I think we're all women this time, and everyone has this incredible wisdom and experience they bring. And some people can talk about theories and techniques. And I can't necessarily, I understand them, but I can't necessarily talk about them. And I'm in awe of people who can and make it so it's understandable. But I realize I don't have to really be able to say or do them. What I'm learning is that I just instinctually know how to do these things. And which is, I wish I understood it. Like, so it's good for me to understand it more, but I constantly questioned because I didn't have a definition or someone saying, yeah, that's the right way, until I came and saw you model all this for us. I was like, well, this must be wrong because it's not what everybody else is saying. But I know as long as I'm feeling it and I'm checking my filters, then
yes.
Okay.
And yeah, and I love this so much because I think what you're saying right now, Mindy, is very related to what you were saying in an earlier share about the difference between the words and the knowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like you in real time really exemplifying that. And I think you do have more words for the techniques and the, you know, than I think you even realize, but it's this like knowing that you are embodied with it and trusting that. So happy to hear it.
Thank you. I just can say this is sort of what I'm equating it to. One of my sons always been good at math, but he could never show his work. He could do it, but they get in trouble in school because they can't show how they got there. And he could get there, but he couldn't tell people how he got there. And that's what it feels like to me. And it's sort of like, I can't necessarily tell you how or why, but I know that's where we need to be. So
yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so the knowing and the trusting of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kristen is asking about the different speeds of moving. Tell me.
Yeah. I heard you say it. I think it might've been in the last time I was in Curriculum Lab, but it was something that you said about somebody, like people move forward really fast and they're done.
Yeah. So this is from Sacred Depths. You have it like in full form in Sacred Depths, but I'll give you a quick of it. So this is back to like our natural rhythms, and each one of us has a natural rhythm in terms of how we move forward, and that can change. It's not like a monolithic thing, but some people are sprinters and how they get things done or move forward is like they go and they go and they go and they go and they go. It's just boop, 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 boop. But then sprinters kind of need a longer rest. I was sharing about this in the context of like understanding you can't sprint forever, right? So sprinters actually need a longer vacation or a longer rest, but that's one way of just how you move forward. Other people are marathoners. That's more me, where it's like, it's tempered and it's paced. It's not too much work all at once. It's every day doing a little more and doing a little more and doing a little more. There's some people, I call them tipping pointers. And those people, it looks like nothing is happening and they're not moving forward, making any progress at first. But it's because they're tipping pointers. They need to marinate on it and they have to like let it really process first and like kind of gel together more before they start to take the outside action. And then another kind of a combo of the tipping pointer and the marathoner are people, I call them deep thinkers, where it's just they are a slower pace because they are deeply thinking and processing through everything and then taking an action and deeply thinking and processing and taking an action. And the idea is that none of these rhythms are better than another. In our society, we only champion the sprinter, and like that's the best way. But the truth is we each have our own pace, and each pace has its pros and its cons. And it's about owning, instead of hating on our pace and hating on ourselves for that pace, it's about loving it and owning it and then leveraging it for its pros and putting things in place for its cons, like how we rest or how we schedule or whatever it is. Yeah, thanks for asking about that. Okay. My next question, I want to name that this is my agenda. So if you don't want to answer this next question, that's fine. It's totally coming from an agenda, but I think it's an agenda that you share with me. So check it out. When you think about everything that we've learned in advance so far, have you been using one or more of the techniques consistently for yourself? And if not, would you like to start doing that? And it doesn't have to be all of them. It could be one. You're like, I want to work with my fear a couple times a week, every week, or whatever it is. But back to like persistence and everything we've been talking about, cyclical learning, embodiment, all of it. What I want, this is my agenda for all of you, is for you to be in regular practice with your body, with your parts, with befriending all the pieces, and to like to really have that as a tool, not only to use in emergency situations, like when you're really we can remember it sometimes when we're really triggered, like, oh my God, I'm really triggered. I'm gonna like work with my fear. That's great. But to like have it as a persistent and consistent tool to be building resilience and regulation and self-awareness and friendship and relationship. So is there a technique that we've learned or a different one? It doesn't have to be one that we learned in this container that you're like, you know what? I want to make some kind of commitment around that for myself. That feels important to me. Mindy already is working with BYF. Some. Yeah, for some people, having a practice partner can be so, so helpful. I'll also share, like, for myself, it has taken practice, but I can hold the space for myself. It's not the same necessarily as when someone else is holding it for me, although sometimes it's even better, it just depends on the moment. But just even that is a practice of holding the space and getting, even arriving to the space, making yourself get there, and then holding it for yourself. All right, so I just tossed that question in there because the more that we not only are practicing the tools that we're using with our clients, but the more that we're working on ourselves, just the better it is for us, our work, our client work, our businesses, all of that. Okay. Tracy is saying BYF and somatic work is consistent. Awesome. All right, here's another question. What is one thing? Let's not name many. There might be many as an answer to this question, but name one thing that you've been putting off because of fear or resistance. So not because it's not the right moment, for real, it's not aligned, or for real, like, you don't have the time for it or whatever it is, but something that you've been putting off because of fear or resistance. It can be a big thing, like putting this big program out in the world, or it can be a smaller thing. Well, this isn't even small, but posting on social media more consistently, or making a video, or whatever it is, raising your rates. And it doesn't have to be business if you don't want it to be business. Whatever feels most important for you. So what have you been putting off? One thing. Tracy's saying creating a workshop. Rose is saying nudging your website person more frequently. Good. Who else? I'd love to see in the chat. What's a thing? Carlita's saying emailing consistently as you had been. Got too caught up in what you've been learning about messaging, fearing getting it wrong. Mindy's utilizing an email list that you have. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Not being consistent about anything. Kristen, can you, for this exercise, pick one thing that you haven't been consistent with that feels important to you? Good. Okay. So whatever the thing is, the one thing is for you, on a scale of 1 to 5, how much would you like to do this thing in 2023? So 5 being like, yes, I really want to do this thing. 1, like, no, I actually don't really want to do this thing. And if you get a 1 on this, pick something else. We're looking for a 3 or higher. Seeing some 5s. Whatever number it is, why that number? Why is it a 5? Why is it a 3? And Mindy, like, 3 is kind of in the middle there. Like, if it's a 3, I'm assuming it is actually something that you want to do. But if not, and maybe the why question will answer that first, then is there something else? So why is it the number that you chose, scale of 1 to 5, how much do you want this thing? All right, next question. What's important for you to remember in order to do this thing? If you do, in fact, want to do this thing, what is important for you to remember? Maybe the thing, it's something that you don't remember when the fear is gripping you. Is something that you really want to remember. You know you need to remember it in order to do this thing in an aligned way. Mm-hmm. You can do this in a way he won't start hating you. Yeah. Important thing to remember. Take another moment with that. Carlita, everything you've done imperfectly so far has turned out good enough. Such an important thing to remember. Your real people don't require the standards that you're learning. Yes, so important. For Mindy, it's important to remember that's not going to make you committed to something that you don't want to be committed to, that you can send out a communication in an aligned way. Good. Kristen, they signed up because they do. That's right. They signed up because they want to hear from you, and you are a good and entertaining writer. I can vouch for that. Okay, next question. Taking in what you're seeing so far, what's the next piece of inner work that's required for you on this? Is it a BYF? Is it pulling a tarot on it and doing, you know, from different angles for those of you that have been through sacred depths? Is it a rewiring process, a belief bridge process? What's the next piece of inner work that is going to be important for you on this? Yeah, Tracy, go ahead. Is it about this question?
It's related to the first one, which is what is the one thing that I've been putting off? And each of the questions kind of took me down a path. What I realized is that it was rejection and embarrassment. So my question to you is, in terms of what is the next piece of inner work, that's what I'm wanting to figure out. What is the next
piece? Is it befriending the fear of rejection and embarrassment?
I'm not sure. I mean, I will definitely be curious about that because it's the one thing, all the other things. I can do videos, I could, you know, but it's like, because it's like, what if nobody shows up?
So maybe it's befriending that fear, right? That fear that no one shows up. I get that there's like the embarrassment is a piece of what happens. So you can kind of work both together. What, like really working with this fear of what if no one shows up and I get embarrassed, right? And I would do, tell me if this lands, but my thought is like, to do a couple of BYFs on it, get the wisdom, get the regulation of like, yeah, that's a possibility. Someone, it might be that nobody shows up. And can I still feel grounded inside of myself and on purpose and knowing that this is not writing my story because no one has shown up? That's where we want to get you to, not to ensuring that nobody shows up, because we can never ensure that. But where we want to get you to be is like, even in the face of that small possibility, that you know that you're okay, no matter what. Does that land?
Yeah, it does. I just want to say quickly, I went to a seminar 2 weeks ago in Miami, and there were hundreds of people, and the person was like asking me very direct questions regarding my business and the amount of money. And I'm telling you, the fear of the embarrassment, it just showed up. So just you even sharing that with me, I'm actually going to like sit with it, because I didn't know it was embarrassment. I thought it was rejection. Mm-hmm. But when I started going deeper, it was like being embarrassed. And so I'm looking at what were the ways when I was younger that something came up where I was embarrassed.
Yes.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Good. Kristen, were you at the alumni retreat? I can't remember now. Oh, that's what I taught at the alumni retreat. I'll offer it again at some point. You've BYF'd so much on this. It has to do with the fire hose of ideas and feeling overwhelmed because I feel so disorganized around it, which I'm starting to realize might be due to neurodivergence. So that's a really important piece of the equation, Kristen, and understanding that your brain might work in a different way, and then putting in some strategies to support you with that. That might not be the next piece of inner work, not like deep somatic work, but actually like, what are the strategies that are going to support me with this beautiful brain that I have and the way that it works to not feel so overwhelmed? How can I work more with the disorganization in a way, you know, and leverage that versus feeling like that's wrong? Is that helpful? Good. Okay, here's another question. We'll keep on going. When you think about this thing that you would like to do in 2023, I can't read my own handwriting. Hold on. What scheduling pieces need to shift in order to do this thing? What scheduling pieces need to shift in order to do this thing? May not be applicable to all of you, but something to think about. Yeah. So Kristen, I think again, like a piece of this is, what are some strategies? You know, it's like inner work is so important. And then sometimes it's like, okay, what is the outer strategy that's going to be the guardrail? That's a next baby step, small steps, not I'm going to do these three things to make sure that I don't get pulled away from my work time. But what is one thing that I can commit to that even if it increases my work time at first by only 5 or 10 minutes a day, that's the next step here for me. Yeah, good, Carlita. So Carlita, for you, something that I really would love for you to do, if you can this week, is to make a date with your calendar, like make a 60 or 90 minute date, you and your calendar, make a nice cup of tea, love on your calendar, and really start to set aside some time. All right, a couple of other questions. When you think about this thing that you want to do, what specifically do you need help with? And what I mean by that is, are there pieces of information that you need clarity on in order to do this thing? So what specifically, or, you know, let's make this adaptable. So it could be, are there specific pieces of information that you need help with in order to do this thing? Or is there something else that you need help with in order to do this thing? Sometimes we need help, and that's awesome, but we need to identify specifically what that help is. So what specifically do you need help with? And who can help you with that? So can I help you with that? Is there a specific thing that's in my wheelhouse that I can help you with it? Is it someone else that can help you with it? For whatever you need help with, who can help you? We don't get the help unless we ask for it most of the time. And part of this, like these two questions of what do you need help with and who can help you, is also a reminder to you that you have so much resource here in advance. I'm here for you, but you have to ask.
I'm sorry, what was the question, Joanna?
For whatever you specifically need help with, who is the person that can help you with that? All right, so if it's outside of you, who can help you with that? Or what resource can help you with that? Maybe it's not a who. All right, last piece here, taking everything that you're seeing with this thing that you'd like to do in 2023, what are the steps around it that you want to take? I have the question here in January, if you're still working over the next few weeks, or if it's appropriate to work on it the next few weeks, you can add in December and January. But what piece or pieces of this would you really like to accomplish in January? What are the next steps for you? All right, who'd like to share? What are you seeing from this series of questions?
I'd like to ask a question. if I think about the word workshop, I think there's an energy around that that just feels very, I don't know if maybe masculine is the way. Is there a different word that comes up for you versus saying a workshop?
So I've used, this one is a little masculine too, if you're not looking for that, but I've used masterclass before. For me, on the more feminine, a mini retreat, an experience. Good.
I personally love the term deep dive.
Deep dive. I like that too. Yeah, 90-minute deep dive or however long it is. Who else? What are you seeing? What's feeling important to you through these questions?
I can share.
Great.
So I think that I want to specifically schedule topics that are aligned with my forming thought leadership and like choose a topic for each month to write about with and give, allowing myself freedom to not stick to it. I've tried to like borrow other people's calendars. You know, you get the one of the freebies people give is like social media calendars about topics or whatever. And I haven't ever been able to use those, but maybe looking at those for ideas and then creating my own calendar for what I want to talk about, I think.
I love it. I love it. And what I would say, Kristen, is you can use your curriculum with each step of the curriculum as a topic, if that resonates.
Yeah.
Good. Carlita saying is what feels important to you is the need for dedicated time each week to focus, yep, to integrate, to catch up, to follow through. Yes. Good. Anyone else want to share? All right. As a side note, I just want to point out, I know we know this, but it's easy to forget when we get like so involved in somatic work and it's so exciting and it's so sexy that we always like, we don't only want to focus on somatic work in our coaching, right? We want like the cognitive is really important. And something like a series of these questions, we didn't go into the body at all, but like we all have great questioning, cognitive questioning, coaching skills that can go really deep for our people, for our one-on-one, for our groups that like don't underestimate that work either. And always think about what is the right balance in any given moment of the somatic with the cognitive, right? With the heart, usually the heart and the spirit are kind of wrapped up in the somatic, but don't underestimate that cognitive work too. Rosa.
Yeah, I just want to say that that's one of the things that I've taken away from this work with you is I am using a lot more journaling prompts in my business coaching work with clients and just having a series of questions that they can write on before we share. So just wanted to say that.
I love that. Yay. All right. Any last words before I give you some homework? Number one, I want to invite you, whatever you wrote down that you would like to accomplish in January, I want to invite you to create space to do it. We're getting to the cards. We're going to have to save it for homework. The pieces that you need help on, I want to invite you to ask for help or find the help wherever it is. I'm in the office, just so you all know. If you need help from me, I'm so here for you. And I'm here tomorrow and then off until the beginning of the year. We didn't get to cards. So the other piece of homework is to pull a card on this thing that you've been putting off. Ask what more you need to know about it. Or if you feel like you know everything you need to know about it from the questions, it can be like for 2023, pull a card, what do I need to know? And I want to invite you specifically to work with the card in the way that we did in our archetypal imagery retreat. So not just like a quick, this is what it means, but give yourself some time to actually work with it. Pull the pieces from it. So before we wrap, I'd love to hear, what are you taking away from our time today? Who wants to share? We have time for at least two shares. What are you taking? Reconnection, good. Continue asking questions and sitting with the answer. Yes. Who else? So, good question, Kristen. In the contract, so I'm offering, it's not like in the contract, but as I've said a number of times, like reach out to me, email. Sometimes I miss things in the Facebook group, but you can post in the Facebook group or send me an email. And then within the realm of, right, like if it's hours and hours, I'll be like, you know, we should set up a session if you want this. But if it's something that I can support you with easily, I'm more than happy to do it. Carlita has the space to ensure that the work gets done. Yes. Now you're embracing your inner winter. Yeah. Good. All right. Last piece for today is just to point out that our session today, I didn't teach you anything new. And I'm pointing this out to underscore a little bit of what we've been talking about today, the importance of integration, the importance of having, even like when you're teaching and programs, whatever, like, and in one-on-one, the importance of having the time to pause sometimes and see what has been done, what's there, what are the learnings, what does that mean for moving forward? It's part of that cyclical learning piece and embodiment piece, all the things that we've been talking about. With that, I am sending you all a lot of love. Happy holidays, if you're celebrating holidays. Happy New Year. Cannot wait to reconnect in the new year. I cannot wait to share with you or to share with you again the choose your own journey technique. It's going to be amazing. Sending you all lots of love. Bye.